Up through the chimney and out, the smoke mingled with the mist that was gathering speed, sweeping in thicker and thicker, obscuring things in parts, half a hill, then the other half. The trees turned into silhouettes, loomed forth, were submerged again. Gradually, the vapor replaced everything with itself, solid objects with shadow, and nothing remained that did not seem molded from or inspired by it. Sai's breath flew from her nostrils in drifts, and the diagram of a giant squid constructed from scraps of information, scientists' dreams, sank entirely into the murk. She shut the magazine and walked out into the garden. The forest was old and thick at the edge of the lawn. The bamboo thickets rose 30 feet into the gloom, bunioned and misshapen, tentacled with the roots of orchids. The caress of the mist through her hair seemed human, and when she held her fingers out, the vapor took them gently into its mouth. She thought of Guyan, the mathematics tutor, who should have arrived an hour ago with his algebra book. But it was 4:30 already, and she excused him with the thickening mist. When she looked back, the house was gone. When she climbed the steps back to the veranda, the garden vanished. The judge had fallen asleep, and gravity acting upon the slack muscles, pulling on the line of his mouth, dragging on his cheeks, showed Sai exactly what he would look like if he were dead.
Where is the tea? He woke and demanded of her. He's late, said the judge, meaning the cook with the tea, not Guyan.
I'll get it, she offered. The grey had permeated inside as well, settling on the silverware, nosing the corners, turning the mirror in the passageway to cloud. Sai walked to the kitchen, caught a glimpse of herself being smothered, and reached forward to imprint her lips upon the surface, a perfectly formed film star kiss. "Hello," she said, half to herself and half to someone else.